This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, in our journey together through the life of Adam alayhi salam, we mentioned that Adam alayhi salam was created and afforded an exceptional honor, and so too are his progeny. Exceptionally honored are the human beings, the children of Adam. And we said that Shaytan is absolutely livid about this. And we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admitted Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, rather created him therein. And now we say that Allah knew that Adam alayhi salam would feel incomplete without a partner to enjoy paradise along with him. And this is why we find in the Quran, خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Allah created for humanity from among themselves, from within themselves, a spouse, a partner, so that they may find peace with that partner, so they may dwell and live with them in tranquility. First of all, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborated further for us, for Adam, Hawa, Eve, from his own body, created for you, min anfusikum, from within you, from Adam alayhi salam's rib, the same way Allah miraculously created Adam through dust and water, blew into it a soul and gave it life, from Adam he created another life and another miracle. Out of the rib of Adam alayhi salam emerged Hawa, his wife, his partner, his spouse, miraculously. And perhaps of the wisdoms here is that without this life partner being seen as your extension, an extension of you, and without you feeling and serving the role of being the protector also of that partner. Some scholars said, how come under his arm, under his care, under his protection? Why from here? It is a part of you and you were meant to protect them. That is you. That is how you function. You will never feel fulfilled. You will never feel complete without that. To live with them lovingly, compassionately. And all of us are like this. That's in Jannah. So how about here in the treacherous terrain of this world, without a good life partner, a good marriage, not a temporary, you know, emotion that results in a potentially, hopefully permanent decision. No, a sober decision, a wise decision to find a partner that has common values, that has common goals, that is heading to the same direction or seeking to as you, without having that good marriage. Human beings will struggle endlessly to enjoy life, let alone to excel in fulfilling their purpose in this life. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya mata'." This whole world is a fleeting enjoyment. It's all cheap thrills. And they're momentary. But then he said, "Wa khayru mata'iha al-mar'atu as-salihah." And the best thing to enjoy in this world is a righteous woman. And of course, a righteous man for the woman. Why? Because this is the most long-lasting, the most enduring, the most fulfilling. It's not actually a cheap thrill of this world. It's what gives you the peace to continue on to your ultimate home, the next world. She delivers you, so she's not really from the enjoyment of this world. She's rather from the enjoyment of this world that brings you to the next. So keep that in mind when society tells you, go your own way, and society tells you, you know, put off marriage. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told you the best thing, even for your own good, even if you're thinking selfishly, right, is for you to find yourself a good partner, find yourself a good spouse. And if you're already married, you make the best out of that spouse. Don't see the grass as greener on the other side. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned them both. As we find in Surah Taha, that وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِآدَمْ, recall to them, O Muhammad, in this Quran, when we said to Adam, إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. This here is your partner. Okay, now this one is your sworn enemy. Make no mistake about that. An enemy to you and an enemy to your spouse. Protect yourself and protect your spouse. Notice the responsibility here. عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. Don't get caught being thrown out of Jannah, get caught off guard, and you get thrown out of paradise because you will be miserable. You don't know what's outside, O Adam. It is ugly outside. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla continued to say to him, and this is relevant. He says, إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. You get to enjoy in here, meaning unlike outside, that you never feel hunger, nor do you have to deal with the disgrace of nakedness. The not finding clothes, not finding warmth, not finding concealment, none of that will be here, meaning it will be there. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. Nor will you have to worry about the burning sensation of thirst while you're in here, nor the burning of the sun. تَضْحَى means from duha, the sun. Nor will you have to endure the burning of the sun. It's ugly outside. Then Allah says in the fourth ayah, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then shaitan started whispering. How did he whisper? Allah knows best. Was he whispering from beyond the fence? Perhaps, because he was thrown out of paradise when he didn't prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. Shaitan whispers to him. How? If it was important, Allah would have told us. Focus. Every wording in Allah's book is a treasure. Shaitan whispers to him. قَالَ. What did shaitan say? هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Oh Adam, listen to me. I'm a sincere advisor. Trust me. Shall I direct you? Shall I direct you to the tree of immortality, the tree of eternal life, and a kingdom that never vanishes? And shaitan kept pestering, of course. Keep that in mind. He pestered and he pestered. He didn't whisper one time. This could have taken 500 years. You need to be sure that if you were in that situation, if you were targeted, you would have fallen. That's very important. We are not critiquing the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet Muhammad actually, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, in an age, especially, we need to rehearse this, because this is an age where they make a mockery out of God, mockery out of paradise, mockery out of the hellfire, mockery out of their own prophets that they believe in. We Muslims reject all of this. And we consider that a requirement to be Muslim is that you honor all of the prophets of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَقُولَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ يُونُسُ بْنُ مَتَّى. It is unbefitting, meaning it is unacceptable for a believer to ever say, even to yourself, don't say it, that I am better than Jonah, who was swallowed by the whale. You know the Prophet Jonah, alayhi salam? We don't know much about his story, except the fact that Allah corrected him by making hijrah too early, migrating, which is a good deed, but too early, you're a prophet, I didn't tell you to leave yet. And so he was swallowed by... That's pretty much all we know in his story. And so don't hyper-focus on that, because you will start thinking you have the right to think. No, no, no. The prophets were the best of humanity, brothers and sisters. Never doubt this. And Allah upgraded them even further to a place that is beyond human effort. Human beings, but all of us, the best of us, cannot reach the least of them. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So Adam alayhi salam is being pestered, could have been 500, could have been 5,000 years. And how did shaitan pester him is very important. Shaitan said to him what? Tree of eternal life, kingdoms that never perish. Allah told him, I'm giving you all of this in paradise, don't go outside, you're going to be miserable. Shaitan is trying to get him to be miserable. Right? He's trying to distract him by making him discontent, age-old strategy. Discontent with the blessings he has. And he tries to interest him in something that he actually doesn't need. You know, Allah said, you're not going to be hungry, you're not going to be thirsty, you're not going to be naked, you're not going to have to feel the blistering of the sun. Shaitan will come to him and say, eternal life though. Allah didn't say you weren't going to die. This is great, but it's going to be temporary. Don't you want to be immortal? Don't you want to be an angel? Allah did not prevent you from that tree. The Quran says this, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنَ. Except because you would become angels. أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. You will get to live forever. Keep in mind, the angels prostrated to Adam. Why do I even want to be an angel? I have the potential to be superior to the angels, but look at how shaitan slips the advertisement. That's what he did. He's selling him a product he doesn't need. He's selling him something that he has superior to. And so he said this to him. He also said to him, you know, maybe what Allah meant about don't eat from the tree is don't eat. But you can taste it. Just sample it. Just give it a test drive, as they say nowadays. Right? This, subhanAllah, the other ayat say, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ, when he tasted the tree, he fell. Adam alayhi salam. ذَاقَ. Allah said, don't eat. Maybe you can taste. And so shaitan kept doing this. And it's a very important strategy that we have to be aware of. You know, whenever I think about taste testing, I think of the story of one of the great Moroccan scholars of our time, Dr. Saeed Al-Kamali. He says his grandfather used to always tell him this when they sit down to eat. He said, you see this loaf of bread? Whoever is content with what Allah gives them, focuses on what they have, not what they don't have. Whoever is content with what Allah gives them, they can have this loaf of bread and be the happiest man in the world. But if you're not content with what Allah gives you, this one loaf of bread becomes more complicated than calculus and algebra. Right? Which store am I going to buy it from? Which store is cheaper? But that store is fresh. But that store makes it softer. And then after you have all of this set up, wait, but that store is closed on Mondays. So now I have to go find another one with comparable quality. This whole long mess, why? Because of a loaf of bread, a measly piece of bread. Because you're not content. You'll keep chasing. If a little is not enough, a lot won't be enough. And it's not about a loaf of bread, brothers and sisters. Shaitan plays this game all the time. Keep chasing the latest model, fill in the blank. The cell phone. But then I also have to get the right case for the new phone, right? Or the vehicle. Which one? And as soon as you pull out, an advertisement is ready to tell you, by the way, your brand new car is now last year's car. Yes? I'll never forget, I went down a rabbit hole shopping for cars once, and I got to a point where I said, wallahi, I'm going to go to the dealer, and I'm going to buy the best car in the lot, in my opinion, my favorite car in that lot. I'm not leaving without a car. Because I'm sick and tired of the thoughts of my shopping around intruding on everything. I want my life back. I want my mind back. I can't even make salah anymore. It's just cramming the space in there. And so shaitan does this as he did with Adam alayhi salam. And it's important and profound that we just not brush over the story. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. So the two of them, ultimately, they ate from the tree. And suddenly their nakedness became apparent to them. The garbs of paradise got stripped off of them. They fell. And they went rushing to grab the leaves off of the trees of paradise, to stick them, to wrap their body up with them, to cover their nakedness. Shaitan humiliated them. He exposed them. Shaitan is determined to humiliate the children of Adam in this world before the next. And that is why, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used very clear language in the Quran, elsewhere, another surah, when he said, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, La yaftinannakum ash-shaytan. Don't get deceived. Don't get tricked. Don't get baited. Little by little, he's going to do it. Tricked by shaitan, كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, in the same manner that he got your parents expelled from paradise. يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا, snatching, stripping off of them their clothes. You know, it's like someone coming to you and telling you, you heard what happened? Someone pulled your father's sort of clothes off in the middle of the street. You'll do whatever it takes. You'll lose your life in a fight without thinking, right? Allah is saying, oh, children of Adam, Shaitan did that to your dad. You should be upset. You should not have your guard down. You should not take this lightly. By the way, he plans on doing the same thing to you, right? يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا. He pulled off of your parents their clothes. لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا, to make their nakedness exposed to each other, to all. This is how Shaitan humiliates. You know, another lesson, very important lesson here, is that being okay with being naked is further humiliation. Further. It's as if Shaitan is saying, this is Adam. This is the human being you wanted me to prostrate to. I stripped his clothing in public. And watch this. I'm going to make his kids do the same thing. I'm going to strip it off of them as well. These are the human beings. I'm going to have them behave like animals in public. And this is why every morning, brothers and sisters, and how important in this day and age of hypersexualization and sort of numbness to nakedness, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say every morning before the sun rose, as part of his dhikr, his dua, he would say, "Allahumma astur awrati." Oh Allah, conceal my awrah. Conceal my nakedness. Conceal my vulnerability. Wa amin rawati, and grant me security from my insecurities. Also, we are to remember, brothers and sisters, before I sit down, when did the awrah become visible? When did the nakedness happen? It happened after they ate? No, they were eating in Jannah. They were allowed to eat. When they did something they were not allowed to do. When they ate what they were not allowed to eat. And likewise, shaitan uses the stomach, fills it, satiates it, so that he can get you to pay more attention to the sexual urge. That's his key. That's why Allah says they ate, they became naked. It became sort of this impure thing. It wasn't before. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh young people, if you find the urge inside you, get married. Because this will help you lower your gaze and guard your private parts from using them in the wrong way." He said, "Whomever can't afford it, fasting. Keep the stomach a little empty." He said, fast. And you know this. It doesn't require a medical report. You know that it's only after you fill. If you're hungry, you're not thinking about anything else, right? But after you filled that stomach of yours, that's when you put your legs up like this and you turn on a movie, right? That's when you start scrolling, when there's satiety, you're satiated, your stomach is satisfied. This is why he also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مَلَأَ ابْنَ آدَمَ وِعَاءً شَرٌّ مِّن بَطْنِهِ. The son of Adam doesn't feel anything worse for him than his stomach. You should be eating morsels of food that give you energy. If you have to eat more than a third food, a third drink, a third so you can breathe. If he can get this filled, he moves on to the other one. And this is also why, perhaps of the wisdoms of why a Muslim says Bismillah and Alhamdulillah before and after the meal, is so you never eat mindlessly, this mindless munching. No, you eat recognizing Allah's right, and you want Allah's blessing, and you hope this food will energize you to do what's good for you, not to be counterproductive and be unblessed of a meal. Because once this is compromised, he moves on to the sexual appetite. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. What happened next, brothers and sisters? Adam عليه السلام, you can imagine, he was so ashamed. There are some reports, not a hadith per se, where he was running in Jannah, as if hiding in Jannah. And Allah said to him, "Oh Adam, أفراراً مني, you're trying to run from me? You know you can't." قَالَ بَلْ حَيَاءً مِنْكَ. No, out of shame from you. I know I can't escape you. I'm just expressing how ashamed I am to have defied you, to have forgotten your instructions. And he was ready to do anything, you can imagine. How do I fix this? What did Allah demand from him? Almost nothing. Allah Azza wa Jal literally feeds him the words to say, "Here, just say this and I'll forgive you." Can you imagine how loving and how compassionate and how forgiving and how merciful and how well-wishing Allah is? Allah says in the Quran, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Adam received from his Lord a statement, and so his Lord opened the door and accepted his repentance. His Lord forgives him. That statement is, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh, our Lord, we've wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, we will surely be failures. I recognize that, oh Allah. That's all you need to do. And so Allah accepted. And Allah forgave. And Allah said to him, even though there's consequences, even though there is going to be a fall right now from paradise, a momentary fall, even though you're going to have to re-earn, reclimb your way back into paradise, but you are absolutely forgiven. What comes thereafter in our next khutbah, insha'Allah ta'ala, we ask Allah to fill us with insight that can allow us to fulfill our purpose with excellence. We ask Allah to fill us with resolve to resist the plots of shaitan that are clearly spelled out in the Quran. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to honor the Muslims everywhere. We ask Allah to honor the Muslims everywhere. We ask Allah to honor the Muslims everywhere and make us a part of their honoring and a means towards their liberation and salvation. Allahumma ameen.